Blog Talk Radio.
Bringing it to you like we always do every Monday at this time. And we're going to bring it to you live. We got a special guest that's going to be on here this evening. We promise to break it down to you today. Sit back and relax as we bring you Blog Talk Radio. Is we're a sexy radio. We're gonna bring it to you sexy this evening, cause we got Big Bub bringing it his way, as he says, my way, and we're gonna do that thing. Yeah, just say it like that, Red Snapper. Yeah. Yes, like I said, we got a fantastic show for you this evening, and we're gonna bring it to you like we always do. So, if you got any questions and you want to get in, you know the chat room is available, and you also can call the number 347-215-8539. This is Word Sex Radio, Grown Folks Radio, and we're going to be doing it like that this evening. Word Sexy Radio, the adult radio show where liberated people and people who want to become liberated unite and share sexual empowerment, as well as talking about books and all types of poetry. We thank y'all for coming in and tuning in tonight, as we're going to have some special guests on the show, and they're going to be talking about their books and doing all kinds of things. We just want to thank you all for the support you've been given in the past and all the way up until this point, And you know it's what we do. We like doing it. So we're going to be bringing in our special guest here in a few minutes. But before we do that, we always have a little bit of admin that we bring in. And that is letting you know that there's going to be a new Red Snapper book coming out in July. There's going to be some book signings coming up. And this is part four to the Scandalous Motives saga that's going on. This might be the final, might not. You got to find out when you read it. But this is going to be that thing that's going to be out there that's going to get you through the summer. So we want you to definitely sit back and relax and wait on that, because we're going to bring that for you. But, you know, right now what we're going to do is we're going to bring our guests and we're going to see what's going on. Carla, are you there?
I'm here.
How are you this evening? Sounding all sexy.
I'm there. There you go. I'm doing well. How are you, Red?
Well, you know how Red is. You know, when you come on this show, you know what to expect. So you might as well just get on ready for it, because that's what I do. So we're glad to have you on the show. Just let everybody know who you are, and we're going to be getting right into it.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I am Ms. Robinson. I am the author of the Love Blossom Best series, as well as Essence of a Bad Girl and Executive Mistress, and I'm with G Street Chronicles.
All right. So how's things been going for you? I see you've been really doing it up there. So how's things going for you?
It's going well. I am a very happy woman. I can say that. And I love the team. I love the industry. I'm enjoying it. It's been a journey. It hasn't all, you know, been easy, of course, and nothing ever is. But I'm happy. I love it. It's going well. So.
Okay. So you plan on sticking around then?
Oh, yeah. I'm not going anywhere.
Well, you know how some people are, because, you know, they think they can get rich quick when they come into the literary game, but you got to love writing to be in this game. And if you're looking for money, I mean, it's there, but it's not going to come right today. You got to earn your way and get it. So, you know, we want to let everybody know that it takes time, and you got to love writing if you want to do it, because, you know, why get into it if you don't want to do it? You know, if you don't want to love it, you know, that's the thing. So
exactly. It has to be your passion. You have to be passionate about it, most definitely.
Okay. So what do you got new right now? I know you got some new stuff out there, some new projects.
I do. Right now, my latest release was in February, and it's book three of the Love, Lies, and Lust series. The title is The Lies We Tell for Love. It picked back up from book two, which was Married to His Lies, and took my readers on a journey back with, you know, Damon and Octavia, introduced a couple of new characters, and just kind of continued on with what had happened with them since book one, and, you know, just more drama, of course, more drama.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the recent one.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, babe.
No, you're fine. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Oh, my question was how steamy is it? Because I know it's got to be hot.
It's steamy, you know me. So it's steamy,
okay,
it's
okay.
Hot, you know.
Well,
nothing's changed from day one.
Yeah, I'm very sick, because we know you bring it in. So is the book released already, or is it, you said it came out in February, right?
Right, that was released February the 7th. The next release, which I need everyone to get ready, is coming July the 20th, which is going to be the final installment of the Love, Lies, and Lust series, and that one is titled Love, Lies, and Lust. That's the fourth book in the series and the final book in the series.
Oh, you sure? Did you kill some characters or something, or what? Because, you know, it's hard to stop them series once you get them going, especially when everybody's into them.
It is, but I'm taking a lot of folks out. I'm going to just put that.
A few people out. I'm telling you, because some characters be wanting to live, boy. I tell you, they don't want to stop. You know, they want to keep going. So I know how it is, because when I wrote this book, I just finished. And I'm just going to let y'all know, some of them characters that y'all love, I don't know where they at. They ain't going to be after this book. I don't know what's going to happen, because they tried to stick around. But we had to get rid of some of them and put them in some other series or something, kill them off or something. Because they just,
right.
You know, that's what they do. Yeah, so.
All right, move on. It's
so
time to
you
move
got
on.
That. Okay, so after that series, what are you planning on doing with that? You're going to come up with something new series, or are you going to do some individual books, or what is your plans?
Most definitely. After the series, the next thing I have coming after the series is going to be a standalone book titled Havoc on a Homewrecker. That one's going to come after the final book in the Love, Lies, and Lust series, and then I'm going to pick back up with a whole new series, more drama, more sex, more crazy characters. It's going to be titled the Platinum Diva series.
Oh, man. You're just going to keep it going. Just going to do some new people.
Okay.
That's right.
But that's what you do. I mean, you come up with these explicit situations for your characters. And, of course, I know people be asking questions to you, and they probably this one is one that they probably ask all the time. How much of the characters are portrayed or is part of you? Because, you know, as authors, we know some of the stuff is us. But how
right.
much is us is what people want to know. So how freaky are you?
You know, I wasn't ready for that. I thought I told myself to prepare for anything when I'm on the line with you, but I wasn't ready for that one. But, you know, I'm going to say this. I will say that I've said it before, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it right. So I'm going to leave it at that, and I'll let your imagination run wild. And I
believe we already know it's going to be freaky. I just wanted to see what you were going to say, because we know that that's how you always bring it. And anybody who's got questions out there for this young lady, please call in. The number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, and I must let you know this is adult radio, where liberated people and people who want to become liberated unite to share sexual empowerment information, as well as talking to authors and books about, you know, about their books and poets and, you know, about their stuff and doing spoken word and all that. So if you can't handle the explicitness of this, then don't call in, because it is going to get hot. All right, so have you been doing any book signings? Have you been getting out there in the media or doing anything?
I am just now, oh my goodness, just now getting ready to actually get out and make some moves and venture out. One of the first official signings I will be at the opening of the G Street Chronicles bookstore and cafe June 23rd in Jonesboro, Georgia. So I'll be there along with some other great, awesome authors. So if you're in the area, please come out and, you know, check us out and get your book signed, and we'd love to, you know, talk to you. And then also I'll be in Philly in July, as well as I'll be at the Harlem Book Festival. So, you know, that's the start. And then I have some other things coming up in my city that I'm going to do with our local library and a couple of spots here. And then from there, I'm just open. I've had several requests, so I'm trying to get everywhere, from Memphis to South Carolina. I have the request, and I'm making moves and making plans to travel everywhere possible. And if there's anybody else listening that you would like for me to come to your city, hit me up. I'll be happy to visit.
Well, how can they get in contact with you if they want you to come in?
Definitely. You can either, well, for one, make sure you follow me on Twitter, author Ms. R, and that's Ms. M-Z-R. On Facebook, I am author Ms. Robinson. You can also email me at ms.robinsonwrites@gmail.com. And I answer all my emails and all my messages. I'll get back with you most definitely.
She does answer fast. But let me say this now. Let me say this. Now, I know that you got this name, and you know it's a retro name in the atmosphere of those who may know. A lot of people may not know this, or maybe they're a little older people, and I'm probably telling my age. But, you know, Mrs. Robinson was a hit back in the 60s. You know, she was that woman who was training Dustin Hoffman in that movie. You know, Miss Robinson, it was also a song that was written and done. And how much of that inspired you, or did it at all?
You know, that didn't have any bearings whatsoever on my decision to choose
the name. You just a new Miss Damn Robinson, that's all. You just took it on over. That's what's
weird. That's right. I had to let them know.
I know that's right, because the white version probably wasn't like this anyway, so we don't know. But I'm sure yours is, what I've seen, is a lot steamier. So. And we understand that. So. But before we go any further, let me go ahead and bring my boy in. DV, how you doing, brother?
What's happening, Red?
How's it going, man? We missed you last week. I know you was out there on the road, so how did that go?
Man, it went well. You know, I basically had a few books I only had a few books to bring back home. So, you know, anytime that happens, it's always good.
Okay. Well, say hello to Miss Robinson. She is here on the show.
Good evening, Ms. Robinson.
Good evening. How are you?
Now, right. D, I don't know if y'all remember each other, because she was on here before, and I don't know, DV, if you remember her, but I'll tell you what, this is that sexy woman who writes that sexy stuff, and she's very good at doing it, so you might want to, you know, get a little, you know, sexy with her as well, because that's what she does. And she also said, anytime I come on Weird Sexy Radio, I don't know what you're going to ask, so I just, you know, I've got to be ready and shit. And she's right, because I'll ask any damn thing. You know that.
Yeah. Hey, I know that. Like, you know me, I'm more of a faith person. If I see your face, I probably remember from that eternity, but names tend to escape me, so I apologize for that.
That's okay. I don't even think you were on here. I mean, it was 2009 since the last time I
was.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
He was here too. Oh, my goodness. No, he wasn't even a guest yet. Oh, damn. We got that long of a history, baby? I didn't know that.
Yes, that's how long we've been together. See?
Oh, my God, we've been writing erotica and doing all kinds of stuff that long. Okay, all right. Well, that's good. So, DV, this woman, I'm telling you, she's phenomenal, man. She writes that freaky stuff, and she kind of spoke a little bit. I don't know if you heard part of what she said about what she's got coming up, but she's definitely on it, and we're going to definitely get her to try to talk about it without giving away the whole story, because I know this is the fourth installment to that series that she has, and I'm sure with the standalones, it's going to be something that's going to probably just take it to another level, right?
Most definitely.
Yeah. And we're supposed to have another author on here as well, but I think she could not make it. She said she wasn't feeling good. Miss Pug was supposed to have been coming on tonight, but I guess it's going to just be you, Miss Robinson, because I don't know if Miss Cotton is going to be here, because she's been traveling as well, and I don't know if she's coming in tonight, but we're going to take care because it's not a problem. Will you be able to hang on? Because, you know, this is a two-hour show. I don't know how long you'll be able to hang on, but whenever you need to drop, just let us know, okay?
Okay, I will.
Okay, because we get away, we're getting started talking all kinds of shit. Hey, DV, let me ask you something, man.
What's up?
Did you get a chance to read? I know you've been busy, but I'm sure you didn't get a chance to read the premise of what I sent to kind of like for the adult, well, not the adult, but, you know, I mean, the book that we want to do as far as the relationships, because Ms. Robinson, we want to do a relationship book because we're upset with what Steve Harvey done and all that stuff with the game. So we want to come out with a book that's not talking about game, but how to really treat your mate. And we have this idea, and we're going to get some authors to get involved that may want to contribute. So this is what I'm talking about with DV. I know he probably didn't have a chance to look at that yet, but I did send some preliminary chapters and all that to Melody, and I don't know if she passed it to you or not. But did you get it?
Right. Yeah, I got it. And, like, I basically started jotting down my ideas. So, like, within the last week, all I've been doing really in the last week is you know, focus on the
making money.
Getting stories out. Right. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you, brother.
Getting the mind of a writer. So, yeah,
right.
Like, I've already started on some of the things I wanted to talk about and, you know, some of the bases I wanted to cover.
Yeah, because I know one area I definitely want to do. Now, I know you can hit on it as well, too, and I'm not saying that nobody else can hit this area, but I definitely want to hit how to treat the opposite sex as far as in making that person, making it about them. So I definitely want to write a chapter speaking on that, and I'm sure DV wants to get on that as well. But we're going to give it a chance, and what I'm going to do, and I guess in the next coming months, I'm going to try to find out who's interested that might want to contribute because we're going to put this book together and kind of just do it together. And let's put it out there right because no offense to those and not trying to dog Mr. Harvey and all those people, but we're not going to be talking about game, how to game somebody and how to get over on them. We're going to be talking about how to last in your relationship. So that's what we want to do.
Right.
So that's where I want to take that. So, and DV is an individual that is very knowledgeable in a lot of areas. And we want to definitely have his contributions. And you can think about it. If you might want to be part of that, you can let us know.
I most definitely will. I love the ideal and where you're wanting to take it.
Yeah, because, you know, I don't want to sit out here. We can sit here and talk game all day. And there's always a way to get around game. And that's
right.
Basically what the Steve Harvey book was to me was game. And then you can, and even the movie showed that game can be played with new games. So we don't want to do that. We want to make it where you're not playing games with your mate, that you're actually trying to show them that you really do care about them and knowing
exactly
how, because I think a lot of people just don't know how to do it because they think game is it. And they've been told
right.
Game is it, and that's all they know. So What do you think about that, if you don't mind giving us your opinion on that?
I actually think that, you know, especially with these days and times, the way marriage and just our communities and relationships are just falling completely and utterly apart, that it is time for a change. And I think that it would be something positive to maybe help people to try to rebuild things that are torn and try to get that magic back. Because a lot of times when we've been together so long, we forget the little things that matter so much. You know, I always say, like, the ladies, we forget to have the heels on, standing in the door when you walk through the door. Or, you know, the gentleman forgets, you know, the little things, just letting her know, oh, I like the way your hair looks today. So it is time for us to try to really heal and rebuild, you know, our relationship and that which is broken. So, you know, game, I mean, really, it's played out, you know. Everybody, especially with everything that's going on in the world, it's time for the real love to get right, you know, and strong relationships to come back, most definitely.
Right. And we kind of want to cover all those bases because we want to talk about, there's a chapter that I put in there that I definitely want people to chime in on. That's baggage that we bring into relationships. And, you know, a lot of things, it all needs to be talked about because the older you get, the more it's going to be. So you just have to be able to know how to deal with it and figure out what it is you want to deal with. And we're going to be talking about those areas because a lot of times these relationship books come out and people don't want to talk about everything. They just want to tell you certain things and that's it. We want to try to cover as much as we can, try to get it where it may be more than one volume. We just want to be able to cover what we can and get it out there. And it'll be a collaborative effort, and we'll work out the money part and all that in the future. But basically, it's just getting it out there and just kind of putting it, because I'm tired of us playing it off like we don't, you know, our people is the ones that really need to work this, because not saying that other parts of the race doesn't have it, but I'm just tired of us looking like we're the gamers all the time. So
exactly.
Right. So we're gonna be doing that. So DV, when you went out to do your books, it was all around. I mean, I know y'all had a good time.
Oh, man.
I wanted to make that. I really wanted to make that. I should have made it. There's no excuse.
In all honesty, it was me and Ms. Newhouse. We were in Memphis for the Sisterhood Showcase.
Right.
And, like I said, it was in Memphis, Tennessee. You know, I had the opportunity to bump into meet Tyrese and Genuine, so you know, they were the performers there. And you know, it was actually a pretty fun time. You know, we had a lot of fun. We picked on each other, we sold a lot of books, you know, we kinda supported each other. You know, and that's the thing that inspired me most about you know, both of us being there. You know, we kinda played off each other. We support each other, you know, we had deals going for all of our books, so you know, it was an opportunity really to bond and mesh.
Well, that's good. And I like when authors can do that because a lot of times, some authors, not all, some authors will get on and they will, you know, make it all about themselves and not want to help each other out. We all can make money. I look at it this way. It's enough books out there for everybody to read. I mean, they can't just read one book and that's it. I mean, we really want to spread the wealth and have it where they can have more varieties of things to read. Because if they don't like my book, they might like yours. If they don't like your book, they might like mine. They might like DV's. They might like somebody's. They're going to like something. So why can't we help each other make that? And you know, that's what we need to do. So, but real quick, let me see. We have a caller. I don't know if this is a caller that has a question or someone that just want to listen. But if you do, please don't hang up. I just want to, you know, see if you have a question. And the area code is 517. Do you have a question? Okay, you do not. Okay, please do not hang up. It's okay. All right, so DV, last week I had to hold it down alone, brother. It was nobody but me. And I had these ladies, and they was trying to get me, man. And I had to let them know that Red Snapper was the man, you know what I'm saying? And we kept it going. So I was on it by myself. Huh?
I said, that sounds horrible. You versus two women, jeez.
I know. That was as hard as I don't know what.
Yeah. That's a tragedy.
Yeah, it was. But I held my own, and they tried to put me in a corner, but I had to box my way out. So I did. I got on out of there. But it was good.
Yeah,
it was great. It was a great show. And, you know, next week I'm going to be doing some traveling next week. So the show is going to be a best of show next week. So I'm going to just broadcast an older show that was on, and it's going to be one with T.L. James and Gene Holloway and all those people that was on before. And so I'm going to let that one go next week. But then right after that, we're going to be right back on it. So just to give you another break there, DV, so you know what's going on with that, because I'm going to be doing some traveling on the East Coast, and I, instead of trying to burden you with trying to do the show, I'll just go ahead and do a show that was, you know, a previous one. So, so you didn't,
get to, you know, me, I'm always fashionably late, you know, so I'd be the black dude hosting the show like at 8:35. Like, yeah, we just got on.
Well, at least you're telling the truth, because that's DV. He's a fashionably late guy, but that's okay, though, and that's fine. And, you know, I'm just going to do that. It's a two-hour show that's already been pre-recorded. We'll do that next week, and a lot of people's already been signing up for it, so we'll be doing that. But right after that, we'll be right back, because I'm going to be doing some D.C. time and some Richmond time. Actually, this weekend, you know, it happens to be Father's Day. For those who are fathers, well, we want to, you know, congratulate you as well for that. And I just happen to be going up to visit my son, who is graduating from high school this Friday, and I'll actually be up there through Father's Day. It's been a while since I actually was around him for Father's Day, so I'm going to go up there and act like I got some sense. Can you believe that?
No, I can't. You don't have to take pictures of that.
I will. They ain't even see the red snapper side up there. I'm going to just be a father.
Good. And then I'll come back. They may not be ready for it.
They won't. They'll be like, what's wrong with you? But yeah, I'm gonna do right, and the only time I can act crazy is when I'm on this radio, and you know I love doing this radio. So
this as long as you want to be a father, not a daddy.
Well, I gotta be a father, you know. Yeah, I gotta be a father because there's a lot of daddies out there. You know,
I'm talking about, you know, you got some young girls screaming, "Daddy!"
Oh no. Well, in that aspect as well, you know, we're not trying to do that either, but. Why I can't do that? No, I'm just playing with you. That's all right. I ain't gonna do that. But anyway, I was just looking at the aspect of really stepping up to the plate and encouraging fathers to really be fathers, and not just because it's Father's Day, but that's something that you should be doing anyway. Even if you don't live with your children, you know, that doesn't mean you can't be a father. You try to get as much in as you can with them and do your best, and don't depend on somebody else to raise your children. You know, I mean, another man. That's something that you know, it's hard sometimes, you can't help the situation, but a lot of times you just try to make the best, but at least let your children know that you didn't leave them. It's just the situations that happen. And I think a lot of people, you know, they get mixed up on that. Just because you're not there, you know, you just got to let the kids know that, you know, just because I'm not there and just because me and mama didn't get along doesn't mean that I don't love you. And a lot of times kids will blame themselves because they think, whatever they think, if it's not being communicated to them. So make sure even though my kids are grown,
I feel what you're saying, but it's kind of like this. I grew up without my biological father, but you know, another man stepped to the plate. So I feel like if there's another man that can do the job better than you can, let him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because I agree, but still, I think that you know, he may be there, but still, if you can work it out where you both are there, you know, to help the other and do that, then you try to do it. Because, you know, we can't help situations sometimes. But you're right. I mean, you know, another man comes out. I lost my father when I was 12. So my mother passed right after that, about a year and a half later. So I didn't really have – I had some adult figures, but they weren't like, you know, another replacement. You know what I'm saying? So I had to deal with what I had with uncles and stuff like that. But when money's involved, you know, sometimes people just get all they care about is money. And I'm not trying to dog them, but yes, I am. So, you know, it's just some of those things that happen sometimes. People think more of the money than they think of the situation. So, but, you know, like you said, I agree with you there. I'm not saying that that's not good. But, you know, if both father figures can be there and y'all can agree and raise that child, you know, when you're not there and he's there and vice versa, then it could be a beautiful thing. Well, so, you know, it doesn't have to be any negative feedback or anything in there. But let's get back to our guest. I'm sorry for going off on that tangent on that side. But you know, we know that you want to talk sexy on here because you usually do. So, and I can't believe I ain't had you since 2009 over here. What the hell is wrong with me?
You know, I will confess. I was supposed to come back, but, you know, I don't know what happened, Red. But, yeah.
You got
I know
freaky
it was on
and,
me.
And it was on you. You was out there writing a book, and you got into it. And you said, I'm tired. I can't come on Word Sexy because I'm too tired. That's what it was.
I know. But I'm here now. I'm here now.
Yeah, you are. You are. And you always keep it hot and sexy and steamy in the books, like I said. And it's good stories. You know, it's not. Well, yours are hot, though. I mean, I have to say, I can't say it ain't like mine because yours is deep. So, like, I'm going back to that question again. I mean, you know, how much is you and how much ain't? I know you ain't going to tell it, but somebody knows. Somebody knows what's up. You know what I'm saying? So, whether you've seen it happening or you want it to happen or something,
there's
give us
a lot
bit.
Of me. There's a lot of me that goes into each and every one of my characters and my stories. And I will say that if it's something, if I have not experienced it, then it's something that I plan to experience. Exactly.
I know that's right. Okay, DV, you can come on in now. I know you don't have no questions. I'm not even gonna ask about them because I know you've been out. But my thing is she's a true freak, but she is a lady. And that's what I love about this lady, because she's a lady, and even in her freakness, she still keeps it ladylike. Even her moans probably are ladylike freaky. I don't know, because I ain't never been in that situation with her, but the way she sounds right now, it's probably like that. So what do you think? Am I on the wrong one or am I on the right one? Where am I?
Like, you know what? I haven't even had the chance to hear the titles of the book in the series that she's writing.
Well, yeah, go ahead and tell DV the series, because I'm looking at one of them right now, and this book here is called What We Won't Do for Love.
Yeah.
You remember you sending me that one?
I do remember you sending me that. That was my very first one. The title of the series is the Love, Lies, and Lust series. And What We Want to Do for Love is the first book, and then we have Married to His Lies, The Lies We Tell for Love, and then the next book, the final installment coming out July 20th, is Love, Lies, and Lust.
And you can tell it's a woman writing this stuff because it sounds harlequin, but as soon as you start reading it, you see dick, ass, and all that stuff going on, flopping everywhere. So it ain't even, it may sound like that, ladies, when it first starts, but it's what you want, even though you try to act like you don't want it. So, yes, she does bring it. And that's good. So it's four books in the series,
yeah.
Or is it five?
So who are the main? Okay. So like, give me a rundown. Like, who are the main characters? Or are they all the same characters, or are they interchangeable?
Is Octavia Ellis still around, or what?
Oh yes, Octavia is still around. She's now Octavia Whitmore. Her and Damon got married. They're still there. Damon is still the man. He's still the man, and they're married, have a child, and now they're just kind of experiencing just life changes. You know, a couple people from the past have, you know, popped up and, you know.
Yeah, what happened to Bo? Is he still around?
No, Bo. He, no.
Bo, he got killed. Did Bo get killed? Yeah. Come on, Bo. I'm sorry.
Bo got killed.
You killed Bo.
That's,
I know Bo ain't
dead.
Dead. Don't answer that question. She killed him. She killed him a long time ago.
He died in the first book.
I know it. I was just trying to see if you remember what you wrote. You know what I'm saying? Nah. I know the character, so you must know I know about the book. You know I know what's going on. I just want to see if you know, because you wrote the book. Sometimes we get authors on here, and they can't remember what they wrote. I'm one of them sometimes. I wrote so much shit, I don't know what I wrote. You know what I'm saying? You got to go back and read yourself and see what you done put in there, because you done wrote too much. You know, and it happens. You know, it just happens.
Yeah, it does.
You know, because I remember. Go ahead.
That's because as authors, we have so many characters' voices running through our heads, and it's so much in one part. You know,
right?
We're a little crazy, but it's the good kind of crazy. It's entertaining,
right?
So, you know, that's.
Well, like I said, we was talking earlier. You know how you get those characters that just don't want to die. They don't want to leave. They
mm-hmm.
want to stay around, even when the book's finished. You know, they just want to continue to hang around, and you be trying to tell them, look, you need to go somewhere. We don't want to talk to you no more right now. And they be trying to hang around, and that's when you be plotting to get rid of them. Well, I need to kill you because you just don't want to act right. So I'm telling you, you know, I understand that. I got some characters that I just finished Scandalous Motives 4 yesterday. It's going to the editor. And I'm going to tell you, them characters, I mean, I tried to make this the last book, but this book these people just don't want to die. Even though I killed them, they're still trying to come back. You know, like soap opera stuff. You know, I'm like, damn, you dead. Don't try to come back. But anyway, I had to do that. I had to get rid of some people. So you got to find out who I did, those who've been keeping up with the saga. But this is a book. Actually, it's Candace Moore's four, but it's really five books because there was a prequel book called Memoirs of a Creole Crime Cartel that was written after the first three books. People was asking about one of the main characters, was Tangie Lurie, so much. I had to write a whole book about how she grew up, how she got the billions of dollars that she had, and how she got the power she was in, because people wanted to know. So she, 300 pages later, we brought her around, and now she's hanging on. But there's some other people that's going to die off. We're going to see what's going to happen. But anyway, so you killed some of your characters. You're not going to tell us who, because you want people to read.
No, I'm not going to tell you who. I know I will say this. I know I will hear about it. I definitely know that. My email will be on fire because I killed some people. I did. So, you know, I took it out with a bang. I'll say that. So.
Well, damn. Well, you know something? As long as the house didn't blow up and everybody was in that mug, I mean, that's what would get me. I mean, hell, who going to, well, somebody could survive that, but, you know, I got a character that I killed. Yeah, I have a character that I killed off, but something keeps coming to me. They keep trying to come to me, talking about making it like it was a fake death, and they was really on life support or in a coma for 10 years, and then they wake up. You know, just crazy stuff. I ain't trying to do all that, man. I mean, they trying to come back, but I can't.
Sometimes you have to let them go.
Yeah, right. You just got to let them go. Put them in the ground. You know, you have the funeral, let them stay in the ground. You know, I got it.
You know, like, I can't read those books where somebody gets stabbed 13 times, they got shot in the face, and then, you know, they back for the next book. Like, for real? They got shot
right,
in the face?
Yeah.
You know, they got stabbed in the throat.
Yeah.
You know, and all of a sudden, you know, now the book's not real to me. There's no... is not genuine, you know.
Right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand that they're characters, but, you know, they're not superhuman either.
Right.
So,
right,
know, I just,
yeah.
I don't mind a little death, you know, because I'm a tragic writer. I like writing tragedy, you know. And so me personally, I don't mind a little death of you know, a protagonist, because once you grow attached to that person and they die, you're like, shit, you know, now what's about to happen? You
right.
know, so I mean, it adds a little intrigue, and it certainly, you know, it gets you cussed out. You know, like she said, you know, her email will be, you know, that email gonna be on fire. But you know, people have
well,
to know that.
You know,
but
you can always create a new character just as fucked up as that one was.
Exactly.
Right. You know, it just, you know, people just get, why'd you kill them? You know, they fall in love. Because, you know, as authors, we know this. A lot of times, people really believe these characters to be real folks.
Right.
Because they think you can't make up something like that, especially when it's real and it feels real the way you write the story. So they're like, well, damn, you know, it really intrigues me when I hear people talking about the different characters that I have created that I know is not real. And they make it like, you know, they just be talking about it like it's a person. You know,
and that's how you know you've done your job.
Especially when they talk about why did he or she have to do that? Why couldn't they? Like, look, they ain't real. They did it because they're not real.
And you know it's bad when you got people talking about they wasn't having safe sex, because I got that one too. I keep bringing that up. They wasn't having safe sex. How can that be? How can they be having all this sex and they ain't putting condoms on and all this? Well, hey, it's fantasy. Remember?
Hey, here's what you do. The next time some shit like that happens, tell them they were hand puppets. All
right,
and they have a hand
right. Yeah. But do you ever get that? Do you ever get anybody ever tell you? Do you take time out to say Joe took the condom out and put it on his dick before he stuck it in Susie? You ever have time to do that shit?
I started like.
I'm sorry. It was slow. It was slow. Go ahead.
It's okay. Okay, better late than never. I have written and taken the time in some scenes to actually, you know, say, okay, he's strapped up or whatever. And then there's scenes where everybody just goes, you know, ham. I mean, because that's just, it's, the truth is, that's real life. It's not always, you know, you get caught up in the moment sometimes. So, you know, I have taken that time, but no one has ever questioned, thank goodness, no one has ever questioned me about it either way, whether I did or I didn't. They just like, okay, it was hot. and that was it, you know.
Well, you know, I look at it. There's nothing wrong with safe sex, and I don't want people out there that's listening to get the wrong idea. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this is fantasy. These people are not real. They're not going to catch anything. They don't have anything because they don't exist. So don't worry.
But that's how I know you. That's how they. You know you're good.
I know.
They're real.
I know. And I mean, I got the 3 stars behind the whole series because of that. This person was just really upset because I didn't put the condoms on my people. They just, you know. So they were just having sex and they were mad. So. But it's okay.
It really represents what you do in real life. And you are a sadist, and you deserve never to write again.
But you know something? I did let them have them take showers and stuff and clean their body, though. I mean, there have even sex scenes where they were actually in the shower while they was doing it. So the shit was getting cleaned out while they was doing it. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's just people just they trip like that. So. But it's good.
You know
why?
Showers are sexy. You know what? Because nobody wants to write about, you know, somebody taking a dump. Like, this shit ain't sexy. It's not nasty. You know, don't put that in your next book.
You know, so I might do that, though, because I might have it where somebody's sitting there and they taking a shit and they get killed. I mean, or something happens, you know, because you never read that. You're right. You just gave me an idea.
So in my next paranormal book, you know, I'm copyrighted.
I'm going to have it where somebody's taking a shit.
You're going to have to pay me for it.
Okay, I'll pay you for this one. No problem. The thing is, they was in the room and they were taking a dump and all of a sudden the knife came through.
Oh, please don't. I don't want to hear the story.
I
don't want to hear the story no more.
Right. I know. But yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, and it's good that people they believe it that much that they get into it that deep. And that's the objective. You're right. So, that's why I didn't really get upset. I bring it up all the time, but it's not that I'm upset. It's just that they were so into the story that they felt that they needed that.
Right.
So that's the only reason why I bring it up. It has nothing to do with, you know, I'm mad because, you know, everybody's not going to like this stuff anyway. They could have been had a condom
right.
wrong and still there's something wrong. You know, it just,
right.
you know, especially when it's the period wasn't in the right spot, why was a comma there and all this. You know, you got them people. And then you got, it's just all kinds of stuff people are going to do or say. So, you know, just remember, those who are out there that are new authors that are coming into the game, just know that a lot of times, you know, I mean, everybody's not going to like your stuff. Just know
right.
it. There's going to be people that do, and there's going to be people that are going to have something to say, and no matter what you do, they're going to have something to say. So, I mean,
right.
it's one of those things.
It's like, you know, everybody has their voice, and not everybody's going to like what they hear. That speaks to, you know, the reviewer. Like, somebody, like, recently I read 50 Shades of Grey. And I was like, really? That's it? That's all it is? You know, but it's up there selling 10 million, upwards of 10 million.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you know why?
I'm going to
tell you why it's doing it, okay? It's where she has the books and who wrote it. And I'm not talking about because she was a white woman, but they call it housewife porn is what they call it. Or you know, because it's about this woman. And you read it. You know what the story is about, so I'm not even going to. For those who
right.
want to read it, I'm not going to get into it. But the thing is they call it housewife porn because it's like one of those things that a housewife can read and I guess she can get away with doing it and be at home and doing her chores or whatever if she's that type of person. And because of the stuff that's going on with the S&M and everything that's going on in the book and how she turns the tides and all this stuff, you know, it's just they call it that. So it's a new trend of things that's happening. And I commend the woman for selling, even though it's not as deep as we probably get in our books. But
mm-hmm.
somebody likes it. They're buying the hell out of this book. And I was in a what they call Cirilla's. I don't know if they have them where y'all are. It's like a little place you can buy sex toys and all this shit. Don't ask me why I was there. I was there doing my thing. Okay.
That was
but anyway,
my next question. I was going out there. I was like,
right. But it's okay. I was there with this friend of mine, and she wanted some sex. But anyway, okay, we were there, and they had the book in them. No, it was a female.
Little
Red was there too, but the thing is. The book was there, the whole series. It's a 3-book series, and
yeah.
even the way the book is put together, to me, is not even that good. I mean, it's just a drabby book. It's gray, and it's put together
yeah.
cheaply, but she's making a lot of money, and I'm not mad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not upset.
The main character's
you
name
know?
Is gray.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's just a story. Anybody could sit there and say, and I don't want to talk about the premise of it, because like I said, so people are going to read the book if they want to. I'm not down there dogging it, but the thing is they bring in a lot of hype on it, and then 6 months from now, it may not be there. I mean, but I'm pretty sure that it's going to be a movie. I'm sure that if it's not already in the works, they're going to be making that into a movie because it's just one of those stories that white America likes, and it intrigues them. Now, if that had been some black person that wrote that, we don't know. I ain't going to say that it didn't make it or wouldn't make it because it's somebody black, because we got Grey's Anatomy and all that, too, and those are black people that made that. But
wait,
my thing is...
If let's be honest, the person that wrote, had written that book was non-white, it probably wouldn't be selling 10 million copies.
I don't think so, man. I didn't want to really come out and say that, but you're right, DV. I'll go ahead and be honest and say that it probably wouldn't be. Because have you seen the woman who wrote that book? She is
regular.
She's regular. You know, that's all I'm going to say. She's regular. I'm going to say
that. She's got a, you know, it looks like she, you know, she bought a bag of nickels and lost, but it's cool.
She is regular. Trust me. She is regular as they get. Okay? And she's just like one of those soccer moms. I'm telling you, it's a soccer mom who got freaky. And they love that shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why it's where it is. So, you know, that's why when I write my books, I don't write to black people. I write to people who read. You know, I'm making sure characters in my books are different races. I don't, you know, the same race. Well, everybody's a human race. But I'm just saying, you know, different types of people. It's not just all black folks. There's nothing wrong with people who do that. But I like to make a variety of folks because I don't want people to label me as urban fiction because they quickly think that if you're a black person, it's automatically urban.
Right.
So they don't give you they think it's automatically urban, especially when we put those covers, like DV always says, with the skyline in the background and girl or guys laying there or whatever. You know, we just need to look at how we mark ourselves.
Those stacks. Now it's like handcuffs, stacks, you know,
right.
Like lipstick. And it's like, okay,
right.
I've seen this before. I mean, there's nothing wrong with
it. Well, 50 Shades of Grey even has that. Yeah. I mean,
exactly.
there's the bus. But see, that book's about money, so it's about that kind of thing. So, you know, it's there, you know, but an urban fiction book with handcuffs and all that on it? I mean, if you're not talking about that, unless you're talking about the jail piece of it, which I guess that's what they're trying to portray, the person going to jail or whatever, why would you have that?
Hey, the thing is this. The cover speaks to a lot of people, and if it's a predictable cover, you know, it'll get passed by. You know, I see people trying to compete with other people by doing the exact same thing. You know, that's not really competition. You're just emulating
right.
something, you know, with the other thing that you saw. So, I mean, I wish some originality went into a lot of these covers because a lot more people would get noticed if they had something that stood out and not just someone half-naked. Give me something thought-provoking. Give me something that's going to make me stop and say, ooh, what is this about? You know, don't give me skyline, car, money, occasional drugs, you know, maybe some cocaine lines somewhere, you know, because that's all been done before. Show me some originality, and I'd be, you know, inclined to buy your book.
Like I said, you're already talking about.
I think a lot of them may be afraid now because a lot of, especially in, you know, in the industry right now, that they're afraid if they do step outside of that whole half-naked stripper, you know, money dress, whatever, that they're not going to get attention. But and it's sad because a lot of times we don't realize that we're, you know, boxing ourselves in and we're limiting ourselves to, you know, as far as our audience goes and, you know, who else may pick up our book. But I think a lot of them may just be, they think that that's the only way they're going to sell those books is if they put those type of covers out there, you know, and if they push it as, you know, street lit and, or whatever, that's the only way it's going to be picked up.
You can just have words on your book. And if you are your book salesman, then they will buy it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's all it is. It doesn't matter what your cover looks like. If you know your book in and out and you can sell your book in and out, you could have, you know, a picture of a puppet, you know, like a Pinocchio doll on the front of your cover, and people will buy it. And it may have absolutely nothing to do with it, but people trust in the person selling the book. They can care less what the title looks like. Or, you know, the cover may stop them, but it's not going to keep them.
Right.
Well, that's like the 50 Shades of Grey. I mean, one of the books has a guy's tie on the front. One has a mask. The other one has handcuffs. That's it. But that's selling. Because it's not, you know, it's not even, It's not even a main part of the book, but it's just letting you know it's just a tie. And it's genius. But they are talking about it. I'm looking here. They're already talking about doing a movie. They're talking about Angelina Jolie might be the woman. You know, it's a whole bunch of stuff that they're trying to come up already with this idea. I'm telling you, by next year,
because
this will be a movie.
If it sells that many copies, there are going to be people who will go see the movie, you know.
Right.
And that's just, or, you know, they'll rent it at least. You know, it's kind of like, what was that Tom Cruise movie? Nicole Kidman? Yeah. You know, people are like, what the hell is this shit? But we still want to go see it. You know, they
it was a cult. It was about the sex cult, whatever, and all that. And people are intrigued with that, even though they try to act like they're not.
But remember, nobody knew what it was about because the trailer said absolutely nothing. So people were like,
"Oh,
we got Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. I need to see this."
Right. But the show. But you got to look at it like this too, DV. They couldn't really show too much because it was about a sex group. So what could they show? What could they show in the damn trailer? Really? but you're right because how it was cast. But you're right. But what you're saying, and I got that. What you're saying is how it was cast definitely made a difference on it getting out there. So if it's cast correctly, yeah. You know, people come see it just because of the who's in it. Even if the movie ain't shit. I mean, you're right. I got you.
Yeah.
So it's just how it's cast and what you do. And if they put Angelina Jolie in this movie, you know people gonna go see it.
Right. Right.
They're gonna go see it because she's in it. And she's freaky anyway. You know, I have the premise of being freaky, so yeah, they're gonna make sure that's the case. You know,
but
put
like
her in
said,
it. I can imagine, I don't know who the guy's gonna be that she turns out, but whoever
me.
It is. You're gonna play the part. Okay.
Give
me the guy.
I'll play that role.
Well, let me ask you this, because I heard rumors. I don't know if it's true or not, but the rumors are is it's a white woman and a black man. So is it really a black man?
No.
Part of the guy
like
that's in the movie?
No. He's a business. Like, I didn't read anywhere he was a man of color. I remember reading that he was a businessman and she was a college student. You know?
Okay. So it can be cast anyway, because there was a rumor that the guy was supposed to be a black man and, you know, white woman, you know, they intrigued with that anyway. So,
why not? They made Jim
get Idris Elba to play him. He be the businessman and get Angelina Jolie and them in the movie together. That shit would be crazy hot because everybody want to go see.
You know what?
And it's something that's not normal to happen. She don't normally be cast with a black man, so they'd be like, okay.
What you talking about? She was with Denzel in Bone Collector. Great movie.
Yeah, but did they do anything in that movie? I didn't see that whole movie. Did they have actual sexual encounter?
Well, he was paralyzed basically from the chest, from the neck down.
Yeah,
okay.
I remember seeing.
He had some fingers. Yeah, you know,
wasn't special places.
What's
the name of that movie too? What's her name? Queen Latifah or somebody?
Yeah.
Yeah. She was
Denzel's nurse.
Right. Okay. I mean, I don't see nothing wrong with it. I mean, if you can make it. Fine, you know, and even with the Steve Harvey movie, which I thought wasn't, but it still was cast. It was cast with good people.
Right.
I'll just say that.
It was cast with good people.
Because the story was really fucked up. Because we already knew it was going to happen. Because you know, the premise of the book. But because of the cast, the all-star cast that he had in the movie, made it what it was. Just like it's going to be with this maintenance man that. Michael Bazin's getting ready to put out, and he's trying to get Mr. Alba to play the maintenance man, and you know all kind of stuff. I mean, you know, everybody's trying to jump on that bandwagon. I'm not mad at them. They're trying to get their book into a movie, but the thing is, you know, I just think it's got to be done tasteful, you know, and I just think that it should be good movies, good books that they make in the movies, not just anything, you know. I mean, Miss Robinson's shit can definitely be a movie. Some of the shit she be doing in her books, but,
I was just
going to
say that, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, all of us, really, we all have the capability. You know, even my books, mine are more like the Eyes Wide Shut kind of stuff because there is this group in my series called The Guild, and the history of The Guild starts from back in the day when blacks could not get in other organizations. They came up with their own sex club, and it kind of came up through the ranks and through the years up until now.
So it's kind of like a black version of that. But they let anybody in. It's not just, it's people of color, basically. So any color, anybody can get in it. It's not, and most of our organizations are like that. We start out all black, and then we turn around later on and integrate. Even the fraternities and sororities are like that now. But, you know, their organizations don't do that a lot of times.
See,
they won't let us in, but we always do. Excuse
I already got a title for your movie right now, Thighs Wide Open. There you go.
Thighs Wide Open. There you go.
That should be the title of your movie.
Yeah, that's the name of a book. You're right. Thighs Wide Open. I like that.
I'll stop giving you all my damn ideas, man.
Won't you help me write the screenplay? Because I do those as well. And then it won't be just your ideal. It'll be our ideal together.
I'll just take any money you make off of it.
Because I want Lisa Ray to be in one of my movies. I already know some of the people who I want to play some of the people
Lisa
in my
Ray?
In my.
Man, please, you
better do
something. Everybody on your set. She like,
well,
I'm
no,
gonna
I ain't
everybody
gonna let
her.
She probably would, but well, she had to play this certain character because there's this one character I got in the book and she definitely would fit that part. So her ass is on. Well, you know, she's got some show now that she's on. But anyway,
that character must.
So
that
so
must
so
be
now
that
I'm gonna pass it to you. I'm gonna pass it to you, Miss Robinson. Now. Who would you, if you had a choice to pick, to play your main characters in your book, the married couple or whoever, who would you pick?
You know, I had a discussion about this, and I have been so on the fence about it because I can't really think of, I take that back. For Damon, I forget, I think it's Brian White, I think his name is.
Oh,
Wait, I know that dude.
Brian White, okay. That's the dude from, well, he's played in a lot of stuff, but what most people probably know him from is, what's that movie, Steps, what was it, the Step, the fraternity movie, was it?
Yeah,
Stomp the Yard. I couldn't even think of it, because my fraternity was the guys that wrote it, a couple of guys from my frat. But anyway, you would use Brian White.
He could play evil, he could play good,
I mean,
exactly.
I don't know, that. Yeah, he could have been a thug, though, too. I mean, he could be a thug. They don't really look thug.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who would be?
I want to know who the character's going to be.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry.
He would be Damon, most definitely. Octavia,
okay.
I'm not quite sure about Octavia. I'm on the fence about her. Probably have to bring somebody new in for her. I probably would cast her.
Well, why don't you use Nunu? No, I'm just playing. Laura London, no, she's too ghetto for that, right? No.
She wouldn't be able to maintain Foxy.
Okay.
Tyrese probably for Bo. At first, I was thinking Keith Robinson. Tyrese? Bo.
Oh, you want Tyrese to be Bo? Okay, all right. Yeah, okay.
What's wrong
I knew he had somebody. Nothing's wrong with him. He's always if it ain't him, it's Iris Alba or somebody. One of them chocolate niggas is gonna be in there somewhere. I'm sorry.
Yeah, don't talk about Mr. Alba either, because you know I feel some kind of way about that.
No problem. I mean, it's okay. Light skinned men are not gonna get cast in this movie. Mr. Michael Ealy, you won't make it, brother. I'm sorry.
He might be the one brother that may make it.
Yeah, maybe Hill Hopper, you know, he might, but I doubt it.
I mean,
he's too short, right?
Brian White is kind of, I mean, he's not light, but
he's... Yeah, but he's caramel, but, I mean,
I wouldn't put that brother in a toilet paper commercial.
Who? Brian White?
Hill Hopper. I don't like that dude.
Only reason why I like him because he's French.
Phony.
Yeah, he is phony, but he's frat, though. That's the only reason why I like him. I met him a couple of times.
All right.
And that's the only reason. Other than that, I feel the same way. But if he wasn't a frat brother, I probably would. And I'm an alpha, for those who's trying to figure out what fraternity I belong to. Yeah, but, I mean, it just depends. You know, people have who they got. And is there any white characters in your book?
In this particular series, there is, as far as my main characters go, there are not any. I do have one that works for Octavia, so there is, you know, a couple of them that work for her, but not in this series. My new book, my standalone, Have It on a Homewrecker, it's going to be, it's awesome. One of the main characters is white, Lynn. I can't even describe it. It's hot and it's like.
So what white woman is freaky enough?
Right. What white woman is freaky enough to play that part?
She got to be freaky and crazy. So I'm trying to see who's freaky and crazy.
Blonde or brunette?
She's blonde. Blonde.
Okay. Okay.
Freaky and crazy.
Ooh.
That's a good.
That's a good one to ponder on. Figure out blonde that's out there that can play that part. Good enough. Well, she can be kind of ghetto, but not ghetto. She still got to be kind of white. It's a brother that she's messing with, right?
Actually, she's married to him, and he's cheating with a black woman.
Ah, that's a great story. Don't even say no more. Don't say no more. Don't even say no more. Because you know what? That reminds me so much of situations that people get in. They get with these other women, but they miss home, and they want to come back home, and they cheat with home.
Mm-hmm.
But they want to live with this status, thinking that they better because they were on this side.
Exactly.
Damn, I like that. I should have thought of that one. Damn. Anyway, all right.
Stealing ideas, man.
I'm not stealing her ideas. I'm not. It's hers. She's got it. I won't do it. But that's great, though. That's good. I'm interested in that. I'm intrigued with that. I definitely want to see how you do that one. And that one's already in place.
Yes, that's coming out next. That's going to come out after Love Lies and Less. The next release will be Havoc on a Home Record, and it'll be that one.
Wow. And people are going to be questioning you. Your white readers are going to be like, why do you pick a white woman to be the home wrecker? Well, it's a black woman that's wrecking the home, but
exactly.
For what I'm getting. So, I mean, you know, they're going to be, why has it got to be a white woman's man getting dog? Or, you know what the biggest question is going to be? Once you go black, you can't go back, and he done went back, he can't go, you know, all this. It's going to be a lot of questions.
All the controversy. I'm ready for all.
Right. That's good, though. I like that. Damn, I should have thought that one. Anyway, that's two. So that could definitely be a movie, because that's kind of like what Beyonce and Idris kind of did a little bit, except it was the white woman that was trying to get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that movie? What was that movie called? I can't even remember the name of it.
It was
kind of silly.
She was
beating her ass, though, all up in the damn attic and shit. But anyway, but yeah, I'm sure yours will be good, and you'll have the right people to cast you, because you should.
And a lot of authors are getting their books, you know, they're becoming movies and stuff. If you got a good screenplay, and I think that we... You know, I don't know if any of you ever thought of writing a screenplay, but it's actually really easy to do. Actually, it's easier to write a screenplay than it is to write a book. To the point, an adopted screenplay, because you already have everything that you need, especially if you're taking it from your book, because all you're doing is transporting stuff into a manner so that it can be used for the characters to be able to speak and, you know, speaking parts. So... But everything is already set up, the mood, the atmosphere and all that. It's just the only problem with that would be is how much of the book can you put in the screenplay, because, you know, most of the time they cut it because of the budget or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that sounds good. White woman gets dumped by black woman because black man wants to be with black woman, but really married to white woman because he lives in this certain area that makes her look good. That he went white woman. Okay, I like that. Damn, because that's so true. That's so real. That's what I'm saying. And those characters are going to be talked about for a long time.
Most definitely. So we're touching on a lot of stereotypes, you know, and breaking a lot of, you know, things that you would expect, you know. I mean, because and starting out, she, the wife, she started out as his side chick. She started out as a side chick. He was with someone.
So let me ask you, what made you decide to go there?
What made me decide to go there? I knew I wanted to write. I had the title came to mind, and I was like, I want to write a story about, you know, okay, a wife who she's going to be fed up. She's not going to take the fact that her man is cheating on her, and she's going to come back at the other woman. Well, as I got ready to present, describe the characters and give the character descriptions to my publisher, I was like, wait a minute. I was like, she's going to be white. And then that's when the whole thing just kind of started spinning around in my head, and I'm like, and I just laid it all out and changed everything.
So your publisher was very, very acceptive of the premise of the story that you came up with.
They didn't try to make any changes or anything.
No, and I'm blessed in that aspect that whatever ideal I come up with, and I've never had, you know, so far, thus far, I've never had a problem where it's like, okay, wait a minute, you shouldn't go there. It's like, okay, you know, as long as it's good, let's go.
As long as they are grown enough and they're adults and they're not child porn and all that stuff and bestiality,
exactly.
It's okay, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I wish you success on that because I think that's going to be a story that I'm sure somebody has tried to tell before, and yours is going to be told in a different manner because I know your style is going to come hard. So I look forward to that, and I'm definitely going to have to get that one. So we will definitely have to see what goes on with that.
Right.
So, DV, I know you got some questions, man.
Man, I have none. This is an interesting conversation because I'm just, like, listening, you know, to everything that's going on. I'm like, man, that's interesting enough. Like, I was like, that concept is interesting enough that I'll buy the damn book.
Well,
you need to buy the
book.
Well,
you know, yeah, and you know, like I said, a lot of times people send me that book, but, you know, and sometimes I use the excuse I don't want to read the book because I'm writing my own and I don't want to be taking their ideals in my head and all this stuff. But then, sometimes it's good to read other people's stuff because you can see, you can learn some style things and know that when you do your style and how somebody else's style is and make sure that you're, you know, there's some positives to it as well. So, I mean, you can't just use that excuse. But I think that...
excuse is a reason.
You know. Well, you know, you can read it.
Reason.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I like I said, Ms. Robinson's books are good. Like I said, I'm not saying anything about other people's books, but some books you just don't want to read.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't going to lie to you. They mean well. They put it out, and there's an audience for that book. It just might not be you, or me,
right,
in that case. But yours, so far, what I have read, has been great, and I like them. So I know that your stories, you come up with these unique stories, and we want to definitely, you know, keep up with that and get that going. But then, like I said, there's a lot of people that's, you know, they're just putting stuff out there. You know, let's just be honest. They're just throwing shit and putting it out there. That's why they can put those skylines on there and had a dude getting locked up and all this shit and come back. And his business has been taken by his rival and his woman, too. And, you know, and all this. He got the baby mama and she don't want him to come around no more. And all. You know, it's just, you know, the same old story, just told a different way. You know. But, I just like how you take and rebuild and recreate, and even though it may be a story that might have been told before, you change it around in such a manner that it's different. And that's what we have to do as authors. We have to, you know, take an old story if we have to and retell it in a manner that will intrigue people so much that, you know, it's just like new.
Right.
Because there's really not a lot of new stuff out there. You just have to, it's how you tell it.
Exactly.
Right. I agree. I've said that before, too.
And you have, and I stole that from you, okay? We'll go ahead and say it was yours, DV.
You do care.
I do care, because if it's your ideal, I will give it to you. That doesn't mean that I won't take it and twist it another way. But, yeah, if it's yours, I'm gonna let you know it was yours. Because I told you he was a smart guy. You know, I mean, that's why you're on the show. So, I mean, because if you wasn't, I wouldn't be dealing with you. But anyway, that's just how it works. You know what I'm saying?
Well, hey, come on, get on my show.
No, you've been on the show, what, almost, how long you been on the show now, DV? At least, what, almost two years, right? Or a year and a half? What,
well,
how long?
Yeah, about a year. It's a change.
Okay. Well, I mean, you bring a lot of stuff. And you've been hanging along. Cotton's been around for a while, off and on. Right now she's doing a lot of poetry. She's a poet, a soft-spoken poet, and she's out doing a circuit right now, poetry, so there's a reason why she hasn't been here the last couple of weeks, but, you know, that's that. So what's new in the future for you after you get these out? What is your next project that you think you might want to tackle after this book comes out, something that you really want to do that you think you'll be able to do after? What number book is this one?
Oh, my goodness. Havoc on a Homewrecker will be book number 7 for me.
Uh-huh.
It'll be book
right.
7. And After that, I have a 4-book series again for A Touch of the Platinum.
Platinum series. You big time author. You got 12 books here in another year or so. You big. So are you gonna stay with the same publisher, you think? Or you think you might be moving on or starting your own stuff or what?
You know, I am open to endless possibilities. But I will say this, D Street is home, you know, and as long as D Street is good to me, of course, I'm gonna be good to D Street.
Because Midwest Publishing Group might need you to write something. You know, you still could be with them. Like some companies, I don't know why they do this, because I think it's silly. Some companies don't want to sign about if they sign somewhere else. I don't see any problem with that. That's two separate contracts. What's that got to do with two? As long as you fulfill what you need to do for both of them, I don't see what the problem is. Hell, that's money you can make and all for one person. You know, I mean, two people make some money. I don't see what the problem is. But, you know, you got some that, well, I can't be with you because you with somebody else. What's that got to do with it? I don't know. What you think about that, DB?
I'm all for loyalty. If somebody's going to do me right, then I figure I'd stay with them. It's not about the bottom line. To me, it's about if you treat me right, then I will reciprocate. You know what I'm saying? And I guess
unloyal if you write for two publishing companies?
No, what I'm saying is if I have nothing but compliments about the one that I'm working with, I'm not going to venture out and look for something else at that time. It's just kind of when you feel like you're being done wrong that you should venture out. It's just like this.
Yeah, but
I understand what you're saying, Rick.
Right.
I understand what you're saying, you know, because, you know, kind of like it's like, you know, playing a sport. You want the best deal, so, you know, as a free agent, you're going to go out there and look to see what the best deal you can get. I'm just kind of that old school method of thinking, you know, I'm just loyal. It's like friendships. You know, if we've been friends for X amount of years and we've done everything, I'm not going to go out there and look for another best friend. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I understand where you're coming from, but I don't think that, well, I guess what I'm saying is if you get an opportunity, I look at it as opportunities. I don't think it's that you're not loyal or you're not satisfied, because you can be satisfied, like you said, at home, like what she just said. She's satisfied with her publishing company. They've treated her well. She's done nothing but good things with them. She has 7 books already with them. But if somebody else came to you and offered you a deal and said, I don't want you to leave that company, you stay with them. And your company that you're with doesn't have an issue, you wouldn't write a book for another company and just have two companies that you write for? I mean, a lot of authors do that.
Yeah, I know.
Being disloyal?
It depends on your personality. Me, I will always, if you treat me well, that is who I will be loyal to. You know what I'm saying? And the reason why I feel that way is because we kind of balance each other out. You help me grow, I help you grow. You know, and if we grow together, that at least gives me some clout. If you tend to go to other companies, you know, to me that's kind of, you know, if that's your thing, that's fine. Me, I just prefer loyalty than dollar signs. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, well, I don't think you're being disloyal, though.
Way,
I don't think it's a disloyalty. Huh?
That's how I am. I'm like this because when I started out, I mean, D Street was the first publisher I approached, and that's who signed me. And it's been me and D Street, you know, over this, you know, journey. So if I did go and I got to the point where somebody else was offering me something else or whatever, it would be myself and D Street. That's how I feel. It would be like a team effort. And it would remain that way until, you know, the money started looking funny or we can't get along or they feel I'm not doing my part and vice versa. You know, so it's us to the death. I guess you could put it that way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
to the death.
Guess y'all keep saying loyalty.
No, because, like, if I was assigned with you, all right, and
right.
we got big together.
Right.
And somebody
right.
came along and said, well, look, DB, I want to offer you a $1 million deal. And I would be like, look, Red, you know, Red's company is who helped me grow. So it's not of me getting $1 million deal. It's us getting $1 million deal.
Exactly.
That we can't. And if that big company can't roll with that, then I can stick with Red and do bad, you know, do bad by myself.
Well, I understand that, and I appreciate that. But guess what? If you were signed with me and that came, and I would tell you, you need to get that money, especially if you plan on bringing back to Red too. But I mean, I'm not saying that. But see, that's what I'm trying to say. And see, that's what I'm saying the whole time is what I've been saying is I'm not saying leave the company you're with. I'm saying that if they don't have an issue with you going out and getting other projects with other people, and you make money with them, and you make money with who you're with. But I understand what you're saying is you want to bring them some money back because of the loyalty that you have with them. That's great.
Right.
That's great. But, you know, if I'm a company and I see that you can make something, I'm not going to let you go unless you want to go, unless you're disgruntled or whatever, like you said. But I think that if you're I don't want to hinder you either. If I'm not going to give you that kind of money that you can make, then I will say go ahead and get that. But I don't think it's wrong for you to write for two companies either. But that's just me, though.
Yeah, but this is my biggest problem, and I'll tell you like this. I see a bunch, like, I grew up learning about black inventors, you know, black inventors, black everything.
Right.
Man, that. But, like, what they were encouraged to do was to sell their idea. So they got rich individually, but they never got rich off their idea. They sold their idea in order to get some money. You know what I'm saying?
You're talking about the patents. They get something patented in there, or they sell the idea
right.
on somebody else's patent.
Now they don't own the patent. They just get paid off the patent that they had. You know, yeah, you get recognized in history for having created this thing, but if you think about it, most black inventors died or broke. Why? Because they had to sell their ideas. They're like, well, if nobody comes along and buys my idea, it's just my idea, and now I'm broke. So they sold their ideas, and then they ended up piss poor broke when they died.
Well, you know why
and
they
now,
was creating all this shit?
Wait,
you know why, right? Because they got tired of doing all the damn work. So
yeah,
they had to come up with
something
to make it easier for their ass, like the cotton gin.
Think of all the inventions that black people created. And if they had an industry where they were creating gas masks, where the government had to pay them to create red lights and whatnot, you know, we would actually have a business, an industry. As of now, there is no industry anywhere. There is no black monolith that exists. What on earth is that?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Okay,
I don't feel like selling out or going to another company that's simply offering me more money is going to do me any benefit if I can't make the company that I'm currently working for, you know, a commodity, which is what
well, you know,
some,
I
it's
am
like,
so
yeah.
glad that I'm so glad if somebody came to you and offered you your own show, you wouldn't take it. I'm just so glad that you would keep your ass with me.
Because think about what they did with
because Snapper. you're loyal to Red Snapper's ass.
But look at what Zane did with Strepper. She said, yeah, I can make, you know, oodles of money being by myself, but I'm not going without my company. And that's what she did. So, you know, it's still Strepper Books. It's just finally backed by Simon & Schuster. So she can still go out and do everything that she needs to do to get to where she want to be, and it's still under her company. So her company still
right.
has clout. You
right,
know what I'm saying?
Those
are the things that you want to do. Because as an individual, I mean, yeah, we love the Eric Jerome Dickies. Yeah, we love the Carl Webbers. Yeah, we love the big-name guys. But they don't have a company behind them. They basically write. And if they stop writing, guess what? They broke.
Well, you're right. And both of them motherfuckers are frat. I'm sorry, they're alphas. I had to throw that in there. Only because you're right. Them niggas don't want to. I mean, and I'm not trying to dog them by calling them niggas. I'm sorry. I take that back. Those gentlemen don't want the publishing company. They want to go out and write. Like Eric, when he writes his books, he's always in the Bahamas somewhere doing it. They'll pay him to go down there and spend 45 days. To 60 days to write a book. And he likes that. They take care of him. So, of course, they ain't going to go nowhere. But, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I get that now. I get it.
Well, Red, I hate to leave you, but I can get ready to go.
All right, baby. Well, before you go, this is what I want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to tell everybody how they can get your book and where you're going to be so that they know where you're going to be if they want to catch you. And we thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Definitely, and I look forward to coming back again. And it won't take...
You will.
Yeah,
it won't take 3 years. 3 years or some shit, yeah. We want you to come on and talk about that book that you're coming out with.
Almost definitely. We will definitely talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody, you can either hit me on Facebook. I am author Ms. MZ Robinson. Twitter, I'm author MZR, so author Ms. R. Email me at ms.robinsonwrites@gmail.com. Pick up my books at dstreetchronicles.com or on amazon.com.
It was a pleasure.
And,
all right.
Thank you.
Well,
it was my pleasure.
We definitely thank you for coming on and spending time with us. There was supposed to be another author, but she... said she was ill, and I guess she couldn't talk. So, DV, it's going to be me and you for the next 40 minutes, bro. You got to tell me what
I
went down anyway.
You know,
No. See, there you go with your mind. See, I wouldn't even feel like that. But, Ms. Robinson, we thank you so much. We know
you
got to go,
baby.
So. So, you go ahead on, baby, and, okay, you do the same, and we'll be getting back with you, okay?
Okay, I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay. Now, DV, basically, you had nothing to do with the thing that was going on in Houston this weekend because you was in Tennessee.
No, I was going, the last couple of years I did MBBF, which is in Houston.
Right.
And the last 2 years it kind of let me down. So this year I decided not to participate.
Okay.
And, you know, that's not, you know, saying anything bad about MBBF. It's still like... Every other venue I go to, they do this massive amount of advertising. And to be in the fourth largest city in the state and not do any advertising is kind of, you know, is the antithesis of what you're supposed to be doing as a book festival.
Right.
So,
and I understand that. That's why I was just asking. Because I was supposed to do that, but you know, it slipped up so quick on me. I was going to go down there, but I didn't do it. Not because I didn't want to, but it slipped up so quick on me that I didn't have it in my plan. But
even more importantly, you know, I wanted to, get lit party, the white party that you know your girls TL and Jean sponsor. It just so happens that I was in a wedding that Saturday night. So, I sponsored it, helped sponsor it last year. And it was a lot of fun, and I wanted to have the opportunity this year, but, you know, because of the wedding, I wasn't able to do it. But I was able to meet, you know, a couple of the authors from, TL's Suspect series, so that was fun.
Right. Okay. Well, it sounded like you had a good time where you were, you and Miss Newhouse, so... I'm sure that was a lot of fun hanging out with her because I know how she can be real fun.
Yeah, she can be real something.
Yeah.
Fun is one of the adjectives, but crazy is probably.
Is she married?
Huh?
Is she married?
You probably have to ask her because
okay. Mm-hmm. All right. That's enough. We'll leave that alone. But I thought she was at one point, but I don't know if she still is. But anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm glad you was able to sell some books. You know, we got this Fall in the Literary thing that's going to be in St. Louis in September. And then there's another one I just saw that's going to be down there again in October. And what's her name is going to be there? So I'm going to try to see if I can go back to that one. Miss Minza. I've been trying to catch her.
Uh-huh. Why, I don't know, but anyway. I wanted to see how things were working with her. So, because I know she got that new book that just came out. What's the name of that damn thing? Nemesis.
Oh, yeah. She's going to be at the Midwest Book Festival, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's in October, I think the 27th. It's going to be in St. Louis.
I thought it was this month. No, it's going to be in Milwaukee.
Oh, okay. But there's another thing that I just saw today. She's a featured author somewhere in St. Louis in October.
You got me.
Yeah. I saw it earlier, but I don't know. I'm going to probably try to make that, too, since it's right here. I know I'm going to do Fall in the Books. You're not coming to that, are you? Or you don't know?
No, like, I have my schedule set. So, like,
ain't coming to that?
No, not this year. Because I'm doing a lot more this year. So.
Right. Yeah, it sounds like it. Now, how is that working for you?
Man, profit. You know, I got to thank the wonderful people in Memphis because, you know, they felt a lot of love. You know, and it was like going back home because, I spent a lot of time in Memphis. So, you know, I was able to drive around the city, meet up with friends. You know, I also was able to sell a lot of books. Like, basically,
did you go to any establishments while you were there? Because they got some good ones.
Man, you like, you know what? They instituted this new law where you can't show nothing. So I was,
they got that law up there now too.
So
they
I was
did
like,
that down here too, man. They did it down here too, man. And I hate that bikinis. All that stuff. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We still get around. There's a way around all of that, though. But it's just a shame that they have to do that. And the main people that's putting these laws into place are the ones that's really doing all this sneaking and doing everything. That's what gets me. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
But,
man,
I hate that. Because I was going to go to Tennessee for the Classic, and they could be messed up like that.
Man, he used to be wonderful in Memphis, but I guess those times have passed.
I know.
Times have passed.
Well, Kansas City used to be like that, too, and now they're just getting real crazy with that law.
You know, so, I mean, I guess the point is, you know, to kind of phase out the adult entertainment industry, so.
Well, I guess they think they can. One way they're getting away with it up here is there, instead of the girls actually being unclothed, they have videos of them unclothed, and they'll actually be standing there with bikini on, so you can see them in person, but the video that they're showing is them in the raw. So that's one way they've been getting around it here in the Midwest. So until they bring some kind of law against that, I guess they'll do it like that and get away with that. It's kind of crazy, but anyway, it's really bad. But anyway, I'm glad that she was able to sell some books.
Oh yeah.
And hopefully we can get this thing going with us, the book that we want. Because a lot of people have been asking about. I've been getting a lot of emails, a lot of feedback on that relationship book, and they're interested to see how we're going to put it together. And they're really interested to see how you're going to, the stuff that you want to put in.
Who, me? Me personally?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The word is DB's a young man, but he knows a lot. He's a knowledgeable man. So, they want to know what you got to say.
Experience.
Ain't that something, DB?
But you know how it is, man. You know how it is. Like, you learn through your experiences. You know, and
right.
I put it on Facebook, you know, things my father used to say. He's like, experience is one of those teachers where you get the test before you get the lesson. So, you know, I have
right.
a lot of those experiences, you know, where, you know, it's like, damn, you know, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but, you know, here it is.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like, and that's all it is. It's just constant experiences, you know. But I'm one of those people that I consciously sit back and think about, you know, certain situations and how it can be better. So,
right.
And, you know, so I guess that's the one thing that I have on a few people that, you know, I don't invest much emotion in it. I figure the best way to resolve it, you know, with
right.
as little help as possible. You know, to this
right.
day, I've never had, like in my entire life, I've never had to talk down a woman, cuss down a woman, call a woman out of her name. Because, you know, I'm like, that's not good. You know, that's just not good.
Well, it's not necessary. I don't do that either, so I don't think that's necessary. There's ways to get around all that. But we got somebody else that just came in. Go ahead and state your name.
Melody.
What's up? I knew it was you. I just wanted. I'm glad you came on. How's it going?
Today. I've been feeling under the weather.
So you mean to take you off the speaker? Is that what you're telling me?
No, it's fine. I'm able to talk. I heard everybody had to go. So, and I know you were talking about the relationship book because I got an email from you and I wanted to talk to you about it, but I hate sending out half-assed emails. So.
Well, don't send a half-assed email. Let's talk about it. Right now on the show, we have 30 minutes, and we can talk about it because it's going to come out anyway. So I know that the stuff was sent. I know DB's been traveling. But I kind of sent some ideas
sure
to you guys.
And
none of the stuff is concrete, but what I sent is just some ideas of what the chapters can be about or something like that. And it's not to say that it has to be that. But that title I want, okay? So what do you think?
What was the title again?
The title, Understanding Your I think it was Understanding Your it wasn't Understanding Your Mate, it was Understanding Your I can't even think of it. I have to pull it up. But I know it was Understanding Your Something. It's either Mate or Your Partner. That's what it was, Understanding
right.
Your Partner. And then there was another subtitle with that. So, but a lot of people have, I'm going to tell you, Melanie, a lot of people has been asking. They really want this book, and they're interested to see what Mr. D.V. Hint has to say.
I'm sure.
And they want to know what, of course, they want to know what I want to say. And they want to know what you want to say. And they want to know what all of us want to say. No, really, seriously. I mean, they've been asking about you, D.V., for real, but I guess when I don't cuss or whatever, they kind of like what I say.
Clearly disturbed people.
Well, I mean, whatever. I think this book can be really good because it's not going to be a how-to book, but it's going to be a book that.
Yeah, my concern would be the approach. I tend to, I don't know, me personally, as far as how-tos, I hate being preached to. It's kind of like that.
You think it's a preaching book? You think? No, we don't want that. No, what?
Yeah. You know,
one thing we do know is not going to be nothing like what he put out because his book was a game book. We're not going to be telling people how to get over on nobody or how to play a game with someone.
I guess come from it from a more human aspect, just people aspect versus, you know.
Well, you know, some of the subjects that I brought up. Right. Because some of the subjects that I brought up was dealing with baggage. You know, it's different things that you go through when you go with it, when you find someone. Because the older you, I think the older you've been, the longer you've been around, the more you're going to deal with certain things. There's going to be more things to deal with. You know, baggage.
Mm-hmm.
Even when DB was talking about women orgasms and not being able to achieve them until they get a certain age and all that. I mean,
kinds of stuff. There's a lot of loaded information. Even in the titles, they could be very extensive or short, and I know that's one of the things that we probably will have to make sure our focus is, you know, not all over the place.
Right. And there's nothing saying that this got to be one book.
I bet. Yeah, that would be. It would be nice, honestly. It would be nice to have a little bitty series.
Yeah, I mean, you could. I mean,
about
and you can hit,
you know,
you can hit different subjects. Each book can be about a subject if you don't want to talk about everything in one book.
My subject can be boobs and why men have them. Huh?
What?
Say it again because you kind of came in and out. What did you say?
I said, you know, I can always do, you know, why men have nipples. That can be my subject matter.
No. You know
why men have what? Why men have nipples? Why men have nipples, okay. Why men have balls, okay. We can go there if you want. You know what I mean? Because, you know, the purpose nipples serve to feed babies, but men have nipples too.
A nipples on a woman, it's just
are useless.
You're killing me with this. Men have breasts too, you know, men are full of breasts, men have asses to sit. I don't understand what your point is.
He can come up with some of the craziest stuff. That's why people are intrigued with this guy.
I know. So
they
want to
know, where did he get these damn ideas from? Why do men have nipples? Oh, my goodness.
He can do that chapter.
Now I'm going to have to go and try to research and find out now. Why do they? Because you got me intrigued.
I think it's not even a question of why. I think it's just, it is what it is.
Right.
You can't take your nipples away. Everybody's born with them.
Yeah. But, yeah, what I said, like I said, nothing's concrete with what I said. We can come up with how we want to do it. I just want the book to get done, and I want it to help somebody. I don't want it to be just something we're doing and don't do anything to no one.
So
it doesn't even matter. We don't want to publish it. We just want to get it out.
We basically don't want to turn into the book of, you know, why black women aren't dating. You know,
that's the one thing I don't want is stereotypes.
We're not going to do that. We're definitely not going to do that. No.
But I guess the real question would be, is the focus dating? Is it marriage? Is it remarriage? Or is it just relationships?
Because it's so hard.
People come from so many different places, you know, when you talk about types of relationships. And that's why there's so many different types of relationship books out.
Well, we could do it like that. But my thing is I was thinking more of it just being about a mate. It doesn't matter if it's a husband or if it's a wife or if it's a girlfriend or...
Well, I think... Yes, true. But I also think
what I'm hearing now is you think that marriage versus just a girlfriend is going to be a different way you treat that person.
Right. Completely different concepts.
So you to write about them would be hard, you know, if you're trying to get the same type of people to read. You know what I mean? Like, and that's why I see what you're saying about a series or different books, because marriage redefines a lot of things. I mean, that's the whole point of it, you know, in our society. It's defining. It's just the next step above. So you couldn't necessarily write about treating a married woman like you would treat a girlfriend. At its core, sure. But when you get into making the lifelong commitment as it's supposed to be that way, and keeping that and getting through things that are related to that, or marriage type, you know, relationships, long-term ones, then I think it is going to be a different conversation. Because a lot of that ticky-tack that you're dealing with during dating is gone. It's either settled, it's gotten over, you're done with it. And so it's you're moving on to something else.
You know, I think that's good. That's good. And it's going to have to be more than one book, because you're not going to be able to cover all this in one book. It's just not going to happen.
No way. That's why I said we have to kind of decide if it's going to be a perspective of regular people, essays from real life experience. I think people can relate versus a doctor talking down at them or some person with a bunch of letters after their name telling them this is the end all. I prefer interpretive essay, you know, or narrative that leaves things open to interpretation for you not to judge the writer, but for to learn from them.
They should be separated into. Well, like, this is my thing. You wouldn't treat somebody who's dating like you would treat somebody who's married. You know, married. You wouldn't treat somebody who's married with somebody who's already gone through divorce. I mean, you kind of need to separate them into those groups where maybe the first book can be specifically about dating, because as we all know, there's a lot more going on in dating. Because why? There's a lot less things that people are talking about and stuff that they're doing. You know, you don't talk about,
unless
about the
then
future,
they know
you
about.
Just have to live. Right.
Yeah,
so the thing
and you
is,
don't know as much about the person.
But that's the thing. Because you don't know as much.
We can definitely start with that.
Dating, yes. Dating and getting to know someone, you know, versus, you know, or, you know, like, have a completely separate book for marriage and maintaining a communication. So, I mean, that's my two cents.
I agree. I think the sky's the limit, because obviously you can do what you want and you don't have to write, it's different. You can have more than one collaborator. So I'm down with it. I think it's a conversation that needs to be had. But my issue is going to be stereotypes and racial stereotypes. And, yes, they make up a lot of how relationships are treated, especially when you get into the media and how black relationships are nearly portrayed anymore at all as stable, you know, or they're more slapstick, you know.
I
don't think we have to touch any of that. No. What I'm saying is it's easy to go there. I mean, if you want controversial, it's very easy to go there. I'm just saying, you know, we're talking about people learning something and trying to break down some of that mess, you know, race tends to put up, you know, although that construct, it would be easier, actually, to me, to just talk about the people versus, you know, the people in the context of what color they are.
Right.
That's just my
concern. But not only that, like, we can only speak from our points of view because we don't know what it's like to be Hispanic or Asian, but we do know what it's like to be human. So, I mean, no matter who you
somebody.
Are, right, you're going to be going through this human condition. And, it, you know, like I said, you know, circumstances may be different. culture may be different. But at some point in time, you will experience this situation.
Right.
You know, it is a human condition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I don't want to be, I don't want to hold chapter on why black women shake their head, you know, or make their neck go back and forth. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we don't want to
go about that, you know.
Yeah, that's inflammatory, and it's meant to get people all riled up.
Or,
and I'm sick of that because
or, you know,
nothing
or the
ever
why black men can't be violent. You know, why
right.
black men have a hard time being violent. I don't want to read
that. You know how the absent black man, like the neck rolling corporate bitchy black woman who, you know, has to control, yada, 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 yada.
Right,
you know,
right,
children on
yeah.
the wedlock, yada, 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 yada. I'm talking about people and relationships and inside out, you know.
Right.
Versus that go by the wayside.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think
it's something, you know what I mean, that it should be able to be, but that's the point, I think, doing this. So.
Okay, we got some questions coming out of the chat room real quick. Somebody wants to know, what would qualify the ones that are contributing to the marriage session to write about it? Do they have to be married for so many years?
I think we can make a call. We can put a call out for personal experience or essays, or we can just interview. It's so many different ways you can go about doing this.
The essay thing is good, but I don't want to do that. I want us to do research. I think it'd be better if we do the research and kind of find out. I mean, we're not PhDs, like you said. We're not worried about. Well, it just depends on the subject. Like she just said a few minutes ago, what qualifies one contribute about the marriage part? I've been married 3 times, but does that mean I know everything? Probably not. But I know a lot about marriage because I have.
To talk about? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think
that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you what didn't work and what worked for me or whatever. But
that's what I'm saying.
That doesn't mean that's the answer to everything.
I mean, I wouldn't trust Red Snapper to write a book on how to stay married. I mean, but I would trust him to write about the things that can go wrong in a relationship, you know, things that
exactly.
to look out for.
Yeah, I mean, just because you got divorced 3 times doesn't mean you don't know what it takes to be successful. In my situation, and that was a question that came out of the chat room as well, in my situation, you know, I chose to get out of those relationships because of whatever personal reason it was. But that doesn't mean that you don't know how to be successful. If I was to get married again, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to have a successful marriage. You know what I'm saying? It just depends. You know, everybody.
And that's the reason why I said the narrative of personal experience, because you can't dispute personal experience and personal reflection.
Right.
I think people can really relate.
Right.
When you start asking for qualifications on life experience, everybody's qualified.
Right. So,
you know what
I mean? My thing would
be if
I was writing that chapter, right, you're right.
To get in.
If I was writing that, I would say, well, you know, this is what happened to me, but. You know, or whatever. The moral of the story is, you know, make sure you pick the right person, you know.
Right.
Don't just get married and be doing some shit, you know. Don't get married young and think that that's it, you know, or whatever. You know, I mean, there's ways around it. You're right.
And to make it to where it is actually a message that people will want to read, because you got to think about that too. You know, what you're passing along,
it's also
genuine
to get what we want.
I mean, that's why I said there's many, many layers of preparation that have to go just into the setup, I think, will be the hardest part, in my opinion.
Right.
I think once we figure how it's going to be laid down, it'll be much easier to decide what will be included. But right now, I mean, like I said, when you do how-to, you know, research takes a long time. So it's very technical research. You can't have that.
I guess I didn't look at it as being a how-to when I came up with the idea, but I guess it is a how-to. My thing was just trying to give you, I guess what I'm doing is I'm not trying to tell you how to do it. Well, I guess I am because I'm giving you the what I've learned.
Well, you're like a guy.
But that doesn't mean that I'm right.
Right, and that's the point. It's just you take away what you can, just like Steve Harvey. You know, you take away what fits your life, but you just don't want to give people a bunch of crap.
No, and I don't want
to
do that.
You know what
I mean?
Why. No, I don't think
right, exactly.
You, I mean, you put something together. You just want it to be worth the energy. You want the information to be worth the energy.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes to put it together.
And I don't think it has anything. You know, I think you know, everybody's opinion, like you said, as long as they're trying to be sincere about what it is and bringing their experience in. And also we let everybody know in the beginning, just because we're saying this, does that mean that it's the only way?
Right.
You know, but this is some of the things that we've encountered.
This is what I've encountered, blah, blah, blah. Just like when
this
I always talk
the
about
the best way for us. Right.
Right. My thing is, you know, I think that you got to make it about the woman. You know, somebody else may not agree with that. They might say, no, don't do that shit. You know, fuck that or whatever. And that's their opinion. But my thing is I want it to be about that person because if I make it about them, they're going to make it about me if they're getting treated right. They're going to want to treat me back the same way or even better or whatever. Once you do that, you know, you have a better relationship. But that's just one opinion. You're right. I get it.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. My philosophy has always been everyone can tell a story, but not everyone can write a book. You know, so, I mean, you kind of want, you know, to take on that, on the knowledge base that you're aware of. You want to talk about the things that you know and stay away from the pitfalls that a lot of these relationship books seem to fall in. So, and by that, you know, like I said, baby mama drama and baby daddy issues, you don't want to fall in the same pitfalls because it creates more controversy than self-help. So...
Right.
I mean, I just kind of want to stay away from those things and just talk about the things that I know from my experience.
Right. Here's a question. What information that can be given to single people that hasn't already been touched on, or would it be how it's presented?
I think it's all about presentation.
Go ahead. What'd you say?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I said I think it's all about presentation. I think the books, the help, self-help or how-to or whatever you want to call them, nonfiction, the books that I personally respond most to are the more open-ended ones, the ones that kind of bring in, sometimes they reiterate what you know, but not, you know, you may know, but you don't really reflect about, don't really think about, especially taking care of yourself. And that's one of the things
right.
we've gotten away from in relationships
right.
first and being,
right.
you know, not looking for some person to do A, B, and C for you, but to be A, B, and C, you know, looking for just somebody to love. I mean, I just think it's like the focus is different and it's the standards are different. And so, you know, I think maybe just a realignment of how you approach relationships altogether, you know. I mean, it's
yeah.
huge undertaking, in my opinion, because I think it forces people to be more self-inflective. You know, they have to self-reflective. They have to look on the inside, basically. They have to look
right.
at themselves. Nobody has to look at themselves.
Right. And I think that it wouldn't be – I don't think it would be bad if we had a compare and contrast in each of the subject matter as well. You know, maybe somebody writes one way that they've experienced and then somebody else writes the other and then have it at the end of a summary of the good,
so
the bad, the both doing it in those ways,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, or whatever. And not
mm-hmm.
saying that it's right or wrong, but just given, well, if you do it this way, you know this will happen. If you do it this way, you know what happened. But in the end, you have to decide, you know, what's best for the relationship, blah, blah, blah. Because like you said, we're not really trying to tell nobody what to do, but we're just trying to give them an idea on what to discuss if they get in that situation, you know. And like I said, we're not... The psychologist and all that, but I don't think it takes a psychologist to do this. It takes people.
It does, and you place all these
right.
folks. you know, who are not degreed, you know, writing very insightful books. It does not take somebody with a degree. Now, society may tell you to listen and to believe. You have to, you know, you don't know. You've never worked in this, that, and everything else. But people discount life experience all the time. You know, you can't be an amateur at your own life because it's you, it's your life. And if you have something
right.
to share, then you who better to talk,
right.
you know, and to share a lesson than you? Why do you have to
as
have
long
a,
putting,
a PhD behind
you're not
your name?
Crap, and you're right. And as long as you're not some crap that you're putting out there that you know, like, why black men go with white women or whatever, you know, something like that. You know, that just,
I'm right.
That. Huh?
What did you say?
I'll go ahead and tackle that chapter.
Yeah, I bet.
The down low brother and the brother white woman.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Well, I guess we can put that in there. Well, like I said, it's going to be more than one book. So. And here's another one real quick from the chat room. We got about 9 minutes. She says, this is Ms. Daring, I found that a lot of books about being single start out by placing blame on someone or making it seem like it's a plague. Is that a standard how to relationship book? Is that how standard relationship books are? You know, The first part was, I found that a lot of books about being single start out by placing blame on someone or making it seem like it's a plague. The way I was going to write the chapter that I chose, that I was choosing to tackle, I was going to not blame anyone. Well, I guess you got to, though. I mean, you got to show a reason why something's going wrong. So, but then you got to come up with some way of... Yeah, I guess it does have to be some type of blame. But the thing is, it's going to be blame on both, not just one-sided. You got to show why
it
works.
I think it's a matter of perspective. I think it's perspective. I don't like the word blame because you don't know what that person has gone through in their life to bring them to that say or do a certain way.
You can call it perspective, or you can call it blame.
You don't know
it's
what
the
they're
same
coming
thing.
From. You know, you just, that's why I just say blame is so, because it's just, it's like it's intentional. And some things are in relationship are done intentionally, but that's not to discount what led that person to be that type of person. And that's all I'm saying. It's just it's a perspective issue.
Not necessarily a blame issue. And you're right, but what I would write, the subject part that I write about how to treat somebody, you know, make them feel, you know, make it about them, would be that some people are intentionally not doing that because they feel like, well, not really, I ain't going to say that. That's not true. I take that back. Because the person may not know that they're not making it about you. They might just be living what they saw, whatever examples that they've seen of role models or whatever that brought them to that point and just don't know and have to be learned. So, yeah, you're right. I don't know. It's not going to be an easy book to write.
Easy.
It's not going to be easy, but, you know, everybody's not going to like it. We're going to have to take the fact that as long as, and this is the way I'm looking at it, as long as we're not trying to tell somebody, give them game how to get over on somebody in a relationship, I'm going to be fine with leaving it open to where you can discuss. At least bring a discussion and try to give a solution on what you think of some things. Not saying it's the only solution, but giving them some type of thing to look at, you know, as far as, you know, that's all I'm saying. It's going to be rough. Nobody said it was going to be easy. But I think that, I don't know. Do you think we can do it? That's what we need to get out first. Can we do it? Huh?
I think we do whatever we want, but you know me, I'm not about to BS. So, I mean, it's going to be a lot of
love
just pinpointing people to commit and working out the details of who's doing what and whatever research goes behind it and having, you know, I mean, a lot of technical work as far as, like, the production aspect. The writing itself is going to be interesting, too, because, you know, I learn mostly through my friends. I learn a lot about, I mean, that's kind of how you can dig into a whole other universe of what's going on with somebody. Is, you know, your friends and what they come to you with. And I think that, you know, how you have, like, a lot of websites and things that have text messages and certain conversations that, you know, are insightful in themselves. And sometimes you don't even need to say anything, or you can just reflect off of what was said here because it's really what was said, you know, really what was talked about, how people view certain things and then how you counter that, you know, as an individual, how to bring your part in. So I mean, the setup like to be like that. Is this hard?
That could be one. That could definitely be one approach. Maybe we set up a blog and ask certain questions and get some response. You know, that could be one approach on the research aspect of it.
We definitely put a call out to people who are serious about or about answering questions regarding relationships. Absolutely. And you know, maybe you can host a few conversations on your show about marriage. I mean, you have a platform right here, Red. If you do a series on and get some people, regular people, to talk about dating and relationships, or you know, just look. I mean, I think it definitely is it's a starting point, because then you kind of know what people are interested in, want to talk about, want to read about. If you let them talk about on your show,
have a concept show, a show where we focus specifically on maybe, you know, just like dating, you know. Then have another show, maybe another month, where we focus on marriages, the ups and downs of, you know, of communication, things like that.
Right.
Or even things.
I like it.
You know,
I have no problem with that. I really don't. I have no issue, no problem with that. And I think that, you know, we can't just write the book in 6 weeks. So it's going to take some time to get all the things we need to put it in place. Because there's going to be people, of course, that's going to try to tackle it and all that.
But if each one of us is working on a unified front, you know, we're bringing, not even necessarily we're bringing in people, but we're all, you know, paying attention to our individual parts, then we can move a lot faster than everybody working on the same part at the same time. You know,
that's why I kind of sent that list of three possible
chapters. I got it about your long list. I had
but there's nothing really saying you got to, I'm sorry, go ahead, man.
Oh, no, no, I know, because you said it's not set in stone, and that's why what I would like to do is take what you have and what I was thinking about doing, and if DV has any ideas, I think we should probably have one or two more people, honestly, maybe at least one more.
Well, I was thinking Cotton was going to be involved, you, me, Cotton, DV, and maybe one more person.
But we can get one, four or five, I think, is strong enough for relationship, because I think it will move faster, and I think people who are committed to, you know, trying to gather.
And I think I want to have diversity in age. I want there to be a lot of things. Right. I want there to be some things in there, diversity in age and all that, because, you know, you want to get every aspect of different parts of life, not just everybody's the same age, maybe they're bringing their own from that age group.
Well,
you know,
I wasn't even thinking of it. I mean, because you can start over at 50.
I can do what?
I think
you're breaking up, baby.
And that's the whole point. Am I breaking up?
Yeah, you were. We didn't get none of that.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Say it again.
No, I was saying that I think when you're older, in my opinion, you tend to find mates even faster because you know yourself more. And a lot of the games and the BS and all that mess, you know, the influence outside of it is not there anymore. You know, your kids, I mean, I just think it's, but at its core, I think it's the same thing. You know yourself and you know what you want.
Well,
you know,
what you're saying is right to a point, but I'm not going to agree with you totally because there's more baggage when you get older. There's more things that's coming into the relationship than when you're younger. The younger person is going to have less things to deal with than the older, like kids, or I've been around this person who dogged me for so many years, and he treated me this way. And
dating everything from before, you know, dating after you've been married, dating before you've been married. You know what I'm saying? Dating is dating.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Kind of that you know, you don't stop dating simply because you know you've divorced. So I think it should be able to encompass all of those things. So they may have kids. That may be a problem. That may be an issue. You know, hell, one of them may have an STD, maybe a genital warts or herpes, and you know, there are people who have issues with that. So, you know, that is another thing that we can focus on. So,
yeah.
I mean,
well,
dating,
we'll definitely have to get together because we only got like a minute left. We'll have to definitely kind of ponder through this a little bit before we actually start putting pen to paper,
right,
and just trying to figure out what it is we need to do with this, because it can be done, but we just want to do it correctly and not make it worth nothing. Yeah, it's got to be worth the effort. So I figured we give ourselves a year to get all the research together, and maybe we can get the book done, you know, at that point.
I think it could be probably moved a bit faster than a year, maybe by the end year. Not out, but at least. It just depends. I just think it depends on what
you
decide.
Well, no, six months to a year. Well, 6 months to a year is right.
It doesn't have to be the Bible of, you know, I mean, especially if we do more than one book. They don't all have to be 100,000 words.
That's
true.
You're right.
Like, most how-to books are about 150, 160 pages. Some are a little longer, maybe, you know, depends. So, I mean, when you think about just what the content needs to be, it doesn't have to be the Bible. People kind of get turned off by it.
But usually it's one person talking about a bunch of stuff. So it's a lot easier to keep it at 100, 150 pages. Why? Because it's one person delineating all the information.
Right. All right, well, I'm definitely open, and that's the reason why I brought it to you guys, because I know that it'll get done correctly. So we'll see about getting, well, we know it's four of us right now, and we'll see about getting maybe two more authors, no more than six or seven, and we just go ahead and knock this thing. And they got to be serious about being part of this, because it's going to take, you know, it's going to take that. So, but we thank y'all for coming on the show. Next week's show is going to be a best of word sexy show, so it's going to be one that was already pre-recorded. Then after that, we'll be back, because I'm going to be out of town next week and doing some things. I don't want to try to put that burden on you to have the show. So we're going to come back, and by then maybe you guys will have some more ideas on what we're going to do, and we'll keep talking about it.
Well, certainly.
Okay. So, Melanie, thanks for coming on and bringing your expertise as well. And leave me, I'm sure. Of course I'm sure. Is that what you said? Am I sure?
No, I said sure. Thank you.
Oh,
I'm glad to have called in. Sure, anytime like that.
Okay.
Sure.
No, not a problem, baby. Okay. All right, so y'all have a good one, and I will get with y'all. Vivi, are you a father?
Am I who?
Are you a father?
Yeah.
Okay, well, happy Father's Day. I'm just asking. I don't know.
I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, because, you know, that's
you
coming up.
And harass you relentlessly.
Yeah, do that. Do that.
Yeah.
All right. All right, y'all have a good one, and we're going
to
go ahead on.
Like
and,
I said, I want to be calling and hear somebody say, Daddy! Thank you, Daddy. Yeah, I'm like, hang up the phone, man. Don't answer the phone, Red. Don't do that again.
Ah, well, they better not be saying, hey, Daddy. You're right. I'll make sure they be quiet. Okay.
All right.
All right. All right. We'll be talking.
All right.
Girl, you just don't know. Last night was incredible. Yes. Check it out. Last night up the skies, open up and rain down heaven. Last night I felt the sun, the moon and stars come together. Last night I heard an angel speak to me, said us forever. And while we were making love, I saw visions of a tropical river. Last night I touched a dream. When you were here with me, last night I touched a dream. Girl, you fulfill my fantasy. That's the dream. Then we rewrote the book of love, making history. That's the dream. That night you brought my dream to reality. Now last night, ooh, I could have sworn I saw an eagle spread his wings. Last night I heard a massive choir lift their voice and sing. Last night I saw the world living in peace and harmony. Ooh. While we were making love, felt my soul being set